Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Jim, where the music just faded out. I don't hear you. Were you breathing? Jim, we are live.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I must say, having a technical glitch here today, but I'm very pleased.
Recording in progress.
Then I have a special guest today, Jack Mullen, who always has a lot to say. I want to begin with a story, however, that is very, very troubling, namely about John Fetterman, who has returned to the Senate and chairing his first committee meeting, a subcommittee on food stamps. And the whole thing's turning out to be a fiasco. There we have Fetterman's return video raising more questions than it answers. Democrat John Fetterman posted a clip on Twitter after being hospitalized to dispel allegations he had a clone, really meaning a body double. But the post backfired. According to a report, Fetterman's health has been failing since he ran for the Senate. He had a stroke during the 2022 campaign that severely limited his ability to tour. Fetterman overcame the challenge and ultimately won the fiercely fought seat, of course, because the election was rigged. They were bringing in truckloads of ballots. To say he overcome the challenge is really to grossly distort the situation. His health issues, however, were far from done. He was taken to Walter Reed in the middle of February after being diagnosed with severe depression, really cognitive incompetence. On March 24th, when he was ultimately freed, a picture of the event shared by his staff went viral for seeming to depict a person who looked a bit different than the actual senator, prompting many to speculate he may have been using a body double. Last Tuesday, Fetterman posted a silly video on Twitter in an attempt to dispel rumors he was using a body double. The report suggests what Fetterman wants to accomplish with his video is clear. He's attempting to poke fun at the body double allegation to make them appear silly. But the rumor's very existence is the issue, and I guarantee you it ain't silly at all. Even more, Fetterman's precarious condition has led many to speculate that he employs a body double to mask his true physical status. Furthermore, his mental instability is apparent throughout the clip. According to a report, the Pennsylvania Senate presided over a disastrous first subcommittee hearing. The title of the hearing he presided over was SNAP and Other Nutrition Assistance in the Farm Bill. The report reveals that Democrat Senator could hardly make out his opening comments, which had been drafted for him by a staffer. It became quite evident that Fetterman stumbled over his sentences, that he's not fit to preside over any subcommittee hearing or, by implication, to serve in the Senate. Cat turd was among the first. It's a miracle. In only 3 weeks, John Fetterman got a total head replacement. Man, he has some good doctors. And here you have the real Fetterman on the left with a broader, very oafish expression. This guy looks like a Neanderthal. And the guy on the right is a smaller head, also smiling, more cheerful disposition. Fetterman never smiles. Here's another, Bridget Gabriel. I'm not one to push conspiracy theories, but John Fetterman's face looks totally different. And that's because it's a totally different guy. I mean, give us a break. Meanwhile, they tried to pull it off. Here's an entry coming out of a limousine. Now, there's no announcement. The guy just gets out, but take a look. If you agree with me, it's the body double. I don't think there's serious room for doubt. The body double. Now, Fetterman has tattoos up and down his right arm, so this guy's wearing a long sleeve thing. He's walking, but he's not saying a word. He's in shorts. He looks totally unkempt for being a United States Senator, in my opinion. If this were the real guy, it'd be embarrassing all by itself, but I'm convinced it's a body double. Now, they have been outed. Therefore, they had to use the real Fetterman. So what do we get now? Just sad. Fetterman could barely read opening remarks at subcommittee hearing. Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania chaired his first subcommittee hearing, and it was an absolute train wreck. During his opening remarks, a freshman senator could barely read his opening remarks, which was, of course, more than likely written by one of his staffers. As Fetterman stumbled on top of his words, it was very clear the Harvard graduate, how in God's name this guy got to Harvard is a good question, is not in any condition to chair any subcommittee hearing. The hearing was titled SNAP and Other Nutritional Assistance in the Farm Bill. Thus, Greg Bryson put on Twitter, John Fetterman chaired a subcommittee hearing today. Here is his opening statement. I've got it. Listen up.
I called in this hearing of the U.S. Senate subcommittee and food and nutrition, specialty crops, organics, and research to order. Chairwoman Stabenow and Ranking Member Boozman, thank you so much for coming. I thank you for your leadership on this committee, and I look forward to working with you to pass a farm bill. A farm bill that works for small farmers, rural communities, and hungry Americans. I would also like to thank my ranking member, Senator Braun. I look forward to working closely with you. SNAP is one of the most effective programs to fight hunger and poverty in the country. In my time and effort in IFAS, as the mayor of Braddock to lieutenant governor to now, I have heard from Pennsylvanians about their support for SNAP. Hunger is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. It's all of our issue that we have to take it on. We need to come together and stop playing political games with Americans' access to food. Americans like Cory Jork from the town of Northeast in Pennsylvania. It tells me that his victim was skimming, which was when somebody stole money and he relied from his SNAP EBT. Mr. Jor is not the first Pennsylvanian I've heard this from. I fear he won't be the last. And I will work in this farm bill to modernize SNAP to work to recipients in the 21st century. I look forward to hearing from you, your witness on this nutrition assistance on the farm bill. And I will now turn it to Senator Braun for any opening comments that he would like to make.
That was so painful to watch and listen to. I mean, it's outrageous how the Democrats, in order to hang on to control of the Senate, are willing to go to any length whatsoever, including trading on this clearly cognitively compromised individual. Very, very disturbing. Let me share a couple other stories of lesser significance, but nevertheless, important indications of the way things are going out here in the USA. Kansas legislature overrides Democrat governor's veto of a bill defining a woman as a human female. I mean, what could be more innocuous than that? But the governor vetoed. Kansas, Thursday, became the first state to pass a bill defining a woman as a human female, preventing courts and government officials from redefining the word to include biological men who identify as women. The measure, which is being called the most sweeping transgender bathroom law in the United States, defines a person's sex as their biological sex, either male or female at birth, based on their reproductive system. I mean, what could be more obvious? The United States has reached a point where you have to legislate elementary scientific biological facts about human beings. The Kansas legislature voted 84 to 40. The Senate, 28 to 12. To override Democrat Governor Laura Kelly's April 20th veto of Senate Bill 180, known as the Women's Bill of Rights. And she's a woman! The terms woman and girl refer to human females. The terms man and boy refer to human males. SB 180 states, the new law, which will take effect on July 1st, will apply to schools, locker room, prison, domestic violence shelters, and rape crisis centers. The measure also has accommodations for those born with sexual development disorders. Independent Women's Voice spokeswoman Riley Gaines applauded the Kansas legislature's achievement on Twitter. This bill doesn't create any new laws or prohibit laws from being made. Border competitive swimmer said it brings clarity, uniformity to Kansas law. Thank you, IWV, Independent Women's Voice, for working so hard to get this passed. This is a huge win. Here's Riley Gaines tweeting. Kansas is officially the first state to pass a bill defining the word woman. This would not have passed a veto override without the help of the sole Democrat, Representative Robinson, who voted in favor of Women's Bill of Rights. Thank you, Kansas Republicans, plus Representative Robinson, who appears to be a big black guy. There's a photo accompanying the tweet. Moreover, she adds, this bill doesn't create any new laws or prohibit laws from being made. It simply codifies the term woman to apply to all legislature that uses that word. It brings clarity, uniformity to Kansas law. Thank you, IWV, for working so hard to get this passed. This is a huge win. When she vetoed the bill, Governor Kelly, and I remind you, this is a female governor, argued that was discriminatory and would hurt the state's ability to attract business, as though one wants to do business with a state that doesn't even recognize elementary biological facts about human beings. I mean, this is as dumb as it gets. The Associated Press reported, the Kansas law is different than most other states' laws in that it legally defines male and female based on the sex assigned at birth. Surprise, surprise. As though that hasn't been the historical practice since there was codification of any laws, and declares that distinctions between the sexes in bathrooms and other spaces serves an important governmental objective of protecting health, safety, and privacy. Earlier this week, North Dakota enacted a law that prohibits transgender children and adults from having access to bathrooms, locker rooms, or showers in dormitories of state-run colleges and correctional facilities. Good. Kansas law doesn't create a new crime, impose criminal penalties or fines for violations, or even say specifically that a person has a right to sue over a transgender person using a facility aligned with her gender identity. Many supporters acknowledged before it passed that they hadn't considered how it will be administered. The bill is written broadly enough to apply to any separate spaces for men and women. And Kelly's office said, could prevent transgender women from participating in state programs for women, including for female hunters and farmers. As written, it also prevents transgender people from changing the gender markers on their driver's licenses, though it wasn't clear whether that change would occur without a lawsuit. Riley says, as a woman and female athlete, I can attest firsthand to the importance of women having private spaces where safety and fairness are at risk. Now, the Women's Bill of Rights will be Kansas law. Women have clarity that when they enter a space labeled for women, biological men will not be inside. Fair enough. Fair enough. God bless Kansas. An inspiring example for the rest of the nation, although it's so absurd that the Democrats have brought us to the point of intellectual incompetence and moral corruption, that we have to legislate the meaning of basic terms about human biology. Here's a good one. Stunning update involving disgruntled former Tucker producer Abby Grossberg. She now has egg on her face. Get this. It's widely speculated that a factor contributing to Tucker Carlson's removal from Fox was a bitter and disgruntled former producer named Abby Grossberg. Abby alleges that Tucker made her life a living hell, thanks to a culture of misogyny and anti-Semitism that he allegedly fostered. Tucker and his executive producer, Justin Wells, who was also fired, really were responsible for breaking me and making my life a living hell, Abby said during an appearance on MSNBC. Abby said the environment was terrible, and it negatively affected her life. She had to look at a photo of Nancy Pelosi in a bathing suit on the wall every day, which had to be awful. She also asserts she was subjected to constant anti-Semitism, such as being forced to look at extravagant Christmas decorations. Sounds brutal. Abby Goldberg has taken legal action against Fox News and criticized Tucker for fostering a work environment that left her deeply distressed. However, there's one very big problem with Abby's allegations. She has never actually met Tucker. Amber Athey tweets, Abby Grossberg's lawyer just confirmed to me that she never actually met Tucker while working at Fox News. Abby never met Tucker Carlson in person because he taped the show from his personal studios in Maine and Florida. Here's Greg Price tweeting. A source who's a former Fox News employee tells me Abby Grossberg never once met Tucker Carlson during her time as his booker. She worked out of the Fox New York City office while Tucker spent all his time in his home studios in Maine and Florida. That mysteriously goes unmentioned in articles about this. Here's one. In a lawsuit, Tucker Carlson is accused of promoting a hostile work environment. Carlson, former head of booking Abby Grossberg, said the male producer regularly used vulgarities to describe women and frequently meant anti-Semitic jokes. Tucker Carlson. This was an aspect of, I can pick who the speaker is, I can pick who the president of the United States is, pick who the Republican candidate is going to be. I thought that was very dangerous and didn't want that kind of power. I didn't want to have Senate candidates calling me and being very upset. Are you going to destroy our whole campaign tonight? Because he could do that. He would call and tell them that if they don't come on the show, we will destroy you. This is Abby describing Tucker. Ms. Grossberg worked at the New York studios while Tucker taped the show from his personal studios in Maine and Florida. And he did not visit Fox New York headquarters during her time there. The Spectator. Grossberg's lawyer said she was in contact with Carlson on a daily basis over text and email, and that the two also spoke on the phone until she left the network. She suggested since Carlson was not present in the New York office, the sexist environments were perpetrated at his direction by other employees who served as his eyes and ears. I mean, have you heard anything this absurd? This accusation by Amy Grossberg, claiming Tucker created a hellscape of misogyny in New York, sound simply ridiculous, especially when Tucker was living and working in Maine and Florida at the time. Are we to believe Carlson was some omnipresent presence fostering a boys' club atmosphere in New York from 1,200 miles away? To many people, this is starting to feel like Grossberg's desperate attempt to line her pockets and validate herself with a liberal mob. In addition, Abby's accusations feel like they're part of a broader campaign to destroy and silence Tucker. Does anyone have a serious doubt about it? I can't resist adding that we have a follower in the Kid Rock model, a model and Trump fan who blows up Bud Light. Bree Teresa unloads a full clip on woke products. More and more companies have decided to embrace radical leftist policies in a desperate attempt to stay relevant. Large corporations run by liberals are pushing woke messaging to attract younger customers. With so many better options to choose from, Gillette, Disney, and Bud Light, think parroting leftist ideas will save them. Well, it hasn't worked yet. When Bud Light went woke, they lost millions of customers. Musician Kid Rock famously shot up a bunch of cases of the beer in response. A social media personality and model, Bree Teresa, was shocked when she discovered her company also swallowed the tranny pill. So she took a page out of Kid's book from Fox. Instagram influencer model and Trump supporter Marie Teresa took a rifle to Bud Light. Tampax tampons and lingerie made by her former employer Tuesday night, protesting the recent woke marketing schemes. The only way to stop this nonsense and propaganda is to not support businesses that do not support our values. It's that simple. Here she is with an AR-15 doing her thing. Check this out. You'll be able to see it in the video version of today's show.
Go woke, go broke.
She did a pretty good job of dispatching all that. Brie Teresa dropped a lucrative partnership with lingerie company Honey Burdette after they used a male model. Listen to this. After they used a male model to pose in a woman's three-piece lingerie set. I mean, can you imagine? What did that look like? Along with products from her former company, the model also laid waste several cases of Bud Light. That was probably the company's biggest sale since the start of this nonsense. Sally scolded companies that put a diversity handout over lifelong customers.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. Give SendGo.com funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I have my special guest, Jack Mullen, standing by, but before I get there, I want to say, talking about using a male model at Bose and Women's three-piece laundry, what would that look like? Just this morning, I was sent a video clip of a figure known to all of you who was featured in a Sears catalog before he changed his name. From Michael LaVon Robinson to Michelle Robinson to become Michelle Obama, and explaining that Michelle is not a man who underwent a sex change operation. Michelle is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. Well, today I was sent a video clip where Michael Robinson posed in a Sears catalog. Take a look at this. It's the equivalent of what we were just hearing. I mean, I'll watch it, play it again. Michael has a package that most women do not have. Just to tie off the story, Teresi is one of many personalities who've openly called for a boycott of Bud Light just a few years ago. We would have expected celebrities to oppose a large company. We wouldn't have expected celebrities to oppose a large company, even if it went woke, but recent events have pushed Americans into rejecting the transgender movement. The radical group has declared war on law-abiding citizens. Transgenders have called for a day of violence against those who disagree with their views. A transgender shooter, and I have to add, we were told, killed six people in a Nashville Christian school because that was another elaborate hoax. As this movement becomes openly militant against traditional American values, it appears people are becoming less afraid to challenge it. Key takeaways: a social media personality model turned on her former company for going woke. She posted a video of herself firing into lingerie in cases of Bud Light. Free Therese cut ties with Honey Burdette after it featured a man in women's underwear. Jack Mullen, it's a pleasure to have you here, my friend. I don't know if you regard that as on the verge of triviality, but it seems to me it's part of modern American culture and worthy of address. Your thoughts?
Certainly it's worthy of address. The fact that a major portion, or maybe at least a small portion of the people that we are told are one sex or another happen to be some other sex. And I think that's a sign of some sort of cultural decline at the very minimum. And it's also a symptom of some sort of mass mental illness. And because it would be outrageous to put somebody like Michael in the position of Michelle in a mentally healthy culture. And certainly it would be mentally ill to do so and not disclose that information. So I think you've identified a fact that's prevalent around the world. I mean, we're living in a world where none of the so-called governments of the world or any of the officials or our authority figures have any say when it comes to certain things, as though they are completely and entirely controlled from above. For example, we know the moon landing was a hoax. We know that the moon landing was physically impossible, especially in 1969. And yet, none that I know of, no government of any consequence or any leaders anywhere made any comments about the fact that it was pretty easy to show that it was entirely fabricated. And, of course, the kind of people that were watching TV at that time may or may not have had the intelligence or wherewithal to make that decision. But anyone looking at it carefully, like you did, Jim, would notice that it's completely fabricated. And yet we don't hear a single peep from anybody in any position of power. You know, the Russians are in the midst of the Cold War, that they might mention that the United States just basically BS'd everybody about their own flight to the moon. So I don't know. This world to me is so upside down, scary, and ridiculous that it's hard to comment on anymore. I suppose our job is just basically to look at it and kind of laugh, point it out like we're at a circus, and you know, deciding which show is more interesting or more convincing.
That's a wonderful parallel. That's a wonderful parallel, Jack, like a circus. Just figure which act you find most entertaining. Yes, yes, yes. My wife and I were in London in 2001. We were staying at a little hotel, the Morgan Hotel. I'd been there before, and I'd picked the Morgan as a place to bring Jan because her maiden name was Morgan. It backs onto the British Museum. And we turned on the BBC on one of the channels. I was just captivated by a program giving all these scientific proofs that we had not gone to the moon. For example, you got the American flag waving, but there's no atmosphere on the moon. How can the flag be waving? You had shadows cast in more than one direction, but if you're on the moon, there's supposed to be only one source of light. The sun, so far distance, all shadows would be parallel. You'd never have intersecting shadows. You had space photographs, say a Buzz Aldrin on a space capsule, opposite the side of the sun where he should have been in the shade, and you should not be able to make out any features, and yet you could see every detail of his spacesuit. Plus, as you observed, we didn't have the propulsion power. We didn't have the computational capacity. We didn't have the communication ability. I put up about 5 years ago a piece on Huffington, in response to a piece on Huffington Post, claiming that a famous physicist had debunked anyone who was a skeptic about the moon landing. Well, it was a silly, silly piece, because he just said something like, anyone who doesn't think we went to the moon needs to have a brain transplant. And I started posting proof after proof. We even have photographs in the moon dust. And by the way, Jack, the moon has not only no atmosphere, but no water, no moisture. So I no more believe moon dust could retain imprints of the moon rover or boots than could the sands of the Sahara. And yet we have all these photographs of moon rover tracks. Other place we have the rover with no tracks. So how in the world did it get there? But one is an imprint of moon boots from the astronaut, but there's a sneaker in there. Someone on the set got in and stepped on and left their imprint of a sneaker. I mean, you know, how many refutation do we need? And a fellow added a comment to my post. He said he'd been in communication in that era, 69-70, and he said in order to communicate, we're talking about across 250,000 miles of space, you'd have needed a van the size of a bread truck. Well, Jack, I didn't see any bread trucks on the moon, did you? And no over, if you stop and think about it. You're transmitting 250,000 miles, and it's going to be an inevitable time gap. You'll say something, it'll take a while to delay, they'll hear it, they'll say something. But if you listen to these transmissions between Houston and the moon, they're like they're right next door, like they're in close proximity. There are none of those sound delays. So, I mean, you got it exactly right. Exactly right.
They were right next door. And, of course, they didn't actually use radio communications. You remember they made phone calls. So they were using Ma Bell and the phone system. Is Nixon's phone call to the moon.
Such a joke. You know, by the way, Jack would never have participated. If he'd known it was impossible to do, he would have called the whole thing off, just as he would have called off the Bay of Pigs had he been informed that Castro already knew we were coming. The CIA discovered the Soviets had learned and had informed Castro when we were invading, so Castro was there just waiting for us with open arms. Everyone knew except the key player, the commander-in-chief. They were deliberately sandbagging Jack. They expected he'd respond by sending in the Marines and were astonished when instead he took egg on his face. It was just outrageous what happened there, too.
Absolutely. And so since we brought the subject up, what does it mean when every nation on Earth goes along with all of the absolutely preposterous lies of the other nations? I mean, doesn't it say logically and through without any further evidence required that each one of these nations is actually under the cone of some other directorship and that we all live on this farm that has a single master and that's out of sight somewhere? These individual nations are really just basically jokes at this point. They have some autonomy, can do what they want, create wars. Basically, they're designed to create wars. And yet, at the same time, there's nobody stands up in this world and says, oh, no, I take that back. There were a few Africans who bravely stood up and said that the COVID-19 thing was a hoax. And they found their way much earlier to the promised land. But in general, it's unbelievable to me that these kinds of things are allowed to continue forever and indefinitely. And no one calls them out as a fake. And high school teachers claiming to be intelligent, and my physics teachers in college all proposed the same nonsense. And at that time, I was as gullible as the rest of them, and I didn't go in and do any research on the claims they made. But, you know, it didn't take me very long to realize that I was pretty stupid for doing that, because it only takes a few minutes to examine the moon landing thing to know that it was utterly impossible. I mean, they had the technology of an Etch-a-Sketch. I think they've just popped out with a digital watch, and that's one of the simplest things they could create.
Jack, you're so right. I mean, today a cell phone has more computational power than they had to go to the moon. I mean, it was ridiculous. Dennis Camino, who's a top electronics troubleshooter for the Navy before he resigned and went to work for Raytheon, and I've done shows on the moon landing where he pointed out that they have a diagram of the circuitry for the computer, and it's not even functional. It's not even a functional low grade, which couldn't possibly have performed the missions. The point you make, of course, about the leaders of four or five African nations who met an early demise because they thought it was ridiculous, one of whom, I believe, of Tanzania, was a smart guy, had the COVID test on goats, on rocks, on motor oil, everything turned out to have COVID. So, he was unmasking the scam. And as you observed, they came to an early end. I mean, they didn't finish their terms in office, Jack. Now, if you ask yourself who could possibly exercise such power and influence, there's only really, in my opinion, one serious candidate, which is the Rothschild banking empire, which controls already 80% of the world's wealth, and I think is seeking to expand that to 100%, Jack. That's how I see what's going on with a great reset of COVID and all that happy horseshit.
Absolutely, 100%. And that leads us into all of the things that we're seeing in the news today. You can't go to any important story or a story that most people follow on mainstream news, which, by the way, mainstream news is pure propaganda, has no value for news otherwise except entertainment and maybe getting the opposite message so you know what sort of action to take in your own life. For example, if they tell you that it's a great time to buy a house, that means you get your house on the market, et cetera. But that the underlying situation here is the people that control the world all seem to be of the same religion. And that is something that I think is very, very detrimental to humanity. And it leads me to anything and everything that I wanted to talk about today with respect to the coming central bank digital currencies, the situation with Fox News and Tucker. I mean, all of these things are related. They're the same people that are behind every portion of this thing. I mean, we see George Soros making a comment on Carlson's situation, declaring him a sexist, a woman, an anti-Semitic discriminator. I mean, come on. The Abby Grossberg, you know, if you examine her name from the ethnic point of view, we can see that it's clearly has a high probability of being Jewish, and although she claims she's a Christian, but there's no evidence of it from the fact that there's no information about her parents. So, there's nothing here that's new under the sun. This is an old problem, but we have to recognize it. We see Ron DeSantis right now in Israel getting ready to sign another anti-Semitism bill for the state of Florida. This is not the first one, it's the second one. So what I guess DeSantis just needs to get an office over there so he doesn't have to make that long distance phone call to figure out what he's supposed to do next. And Jim, you know, I think the most important topics of the day are these things. We have to be concerned about what the Jewish banking cartels are about to do to your life and destroy it forever. We have to be concerned about the fact that they control all the elections and they're behind most of the candidates, and that there are very, very few options for people now as the door begins to close. And you can hear it closing. And the fact that they're aggressively behind anti-Semitism law all over the place is something that's a telltale sign. We know in the Bolshevik Revolution, one of the first things that was done there was to make anti-Semitism a capital crime. And you could be summarily executed without even a trial if you were accused of anti-Semitism by the right person. For example, Leon Trotsky loved to walk down the street with his handgun in hand and walk up to somebody who was accused of such a thing and just shoot him in the head. And these are the kind of people that controlled Russia for, 40, 50, 60 years and underlining are still there. And this is what we would call just pure thug evil. And these are the same people now that are making it impossible for us to criticize Israel. We can't talk about the amount of money that's sent there every year in terms of financial aid. We can't talk about Ukraine and their connection and how it is that we've sent $50 billion there on the same day they were in the House of Representatives agreeing to send them $40 billion. They turned down a bill to send $48 billion to the United States for help with small businesses the same very day. And so who is in charge and what are their interests? I mean, is it America first or is it Israel first? And I think that we all can agree that this has been the case and particularly worsened after Trump was elected. But if we don't make some sort of stop with this situation or at least make it public, then soon we'll have this muzzle over our face that we can't take off. And many, many of us are going to die. We're going to die from just being secreted away, the lack of having an honest and a realistic legal system. It's corrupt to the core. Our federal government's track record of losing a case is 1%? Or it's less than that. They don't know. And I know you sat in the hot seat in that same situation. I can just say that we have to be aware. And for most of you, the most important thing right now is this central bank digital currency. It just kicked it off in Europe. It is now active and running. They have something they call the European digital currency system. And they're telling people now that it's, it's to protect them. And they have Christine, what is her last name? Lagarde, the head of the International Monetary Fund, and she has other positions of power. talking about the fact that, you know, you're still going to have some privacy. They're probably not even going to worry about transactions that are under $300. So they're saying now that if you do any transactions over $300, or while officially the number is 1,000, and I say dollars, I mean euros, then your transaction will be scrutinized by something, probably artificial intelligence, which is another tie-in to this situation. And then, you know, you may or may not have your transaction good to go, or it may put you on some sort of list that prevents you from doing other things down the road. But anything over 1,000 euros now in cash is illegal. So you can't make a purchase in Europe. You can't just suddenly decide you got to have that painting or some other thing and pull out more than 1,000 euros out of your pocket and pay for it without it becoming, you know, something that you could actually have to answer for in a court of law. And we knew this was coming. I mean, Jim, you and I have talked about it for years off and on. It's always part of my thinking, has been since I was old enough to think. And but here it has finally come. I mean, the day has arrived where you'll be penalized for using cash. The United States is in a financial free fall. The debt markets that involve the United States are critically exploding. We see companies like BlackRock who've been assaulted in France by actually awake people and their companion in crime, the Federal Reserve, buying everything. They buy every single thing. So we see that they own, you know, the last time I looked, they own more than 40% of the real estate investment instruments in the United States. And that's been more than a year ago that I looked. But we see the 10-year yield going up and down and up and down. Well, every time that thing comes down, say, 2, 3, 5 basis points, which it does all routinely now over the course of a week, we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars, that have gone out the door to buy something to make that rate fall so that the bond market doesn't collapse until they're ready for it to collapse. But that is the plan. The bond market will catch on fire. The United States will go into a crippling situation with liquidity. Banks won't be able to provide liquidity. There will be no liquidity. Industry and small business relies on temporary cash and temporary loans, which is called working capital, will suddenly have nothing. And the trucks will stop. The food supplies will go to zero. And we're weeks away from this. The United States is tiptoeing or baby stepping to Bolshevism right now with the Fed Now currency that they plan to begin pushing heavily. It's available. It works. You put an article up on your site a few weeks ago that was from Zero Hedge. And what was the name of that article? Let me just check my thing here. It was called Project Icebreaker. Project Icebreaker, the beginning of a one world digital currency, was Tyler's question in that article. And it's definitely the beginning of one world currency. The Project Icebreaker is a system of technology that's been developed by the World Bank and the BIS. And these banks control our lives. They're not something that we elected or even recognize as an authority of any kind. They're kind of like the World Economic Forum. They're a joke. They're pretend. They gave themselves a title and then, you know, infiltrated their own people with the worst psychopaths. I mean, the study of psychopathy is something that people need to take very serious at this time. Because the United States government, the federal government at all levels in the positions of the major power system are psychopaths. And if you read Robert Hare's book, which I've forgotten his title, I hate losing my memory, but it was a definitive work that was written sometime in the late 90s about the nature of a psychopath. There was another book that came out after that called Ponderology, and it had a subtitle which indicates that psychopaths typically get in positions of power. And then after obtaining that position, they slowly begin to populate other positions around them with other psychopaths until you have an entirely large coven of psychopaths running businesses and running governments. And that's what we have now. And we can see that by the way the federal government behaves, the way they say one thing and do another, the way they promise to protect children while at the same time they're allowing 80,000 foreign immigrant children to just disappear into the vapor while running a migrant trafficking scam across the Texas border. And these are all signs. When you see something and your brain goes, wait a minute, I don't fully understand here, you're likely observing something done by a psychopath. They straightforward do one thing while almost pure, obviously, doing the other straight behind them. But because of the authority they can generate from the nature of their personality, people tend to question their own thinking. And so being completely populated by psychopaths right now is a very dangerous situation. And couple that with the idea that sometime probably in July, we'll be told that, guess what, guys, we can this inflation is getting worse and not going to get better. It's all a result of this old idea called paper currency. And it's time to move into our, central bank digital currency system, which if you do so now, we're going to offer you $1.5 for every dollar you chip in. And that's where they'll begin to take people. And of course, those of us that won't go, the punishment will get worse and worse and worse, because they will fully collapse the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar. They will make it an illegal transaction to make purchases, not completely at first, but eventually it'll be totally illegal. And in the meantime, all your assets you had in dollars will become worthless overnight. Nothing you have will have any value. You'll be a millionaire. And if they're all in dollars, that's useless. So people have to know that we have a little opening.
We're in break, Jim.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
In order to stabilize the banking system.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a
Jack,
drill," on bullhorns during the marathon?
That
the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities. And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up.
Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Jack, when you mention Ron DeSantis, we have an article here, Sundance. The Gateway Pundit, collapsing at home, DeSantis travels to Israel and proclaims he moved U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, not President Trump. This should be embarrassing, even for a seriously self-centered politician, so filled with hubris and visions of grandeur that he cannot see anything except his own magnanimity. Alas for the narcissist. TopGov and the branding organization behind him, no scale of hubris, exclaimed is excessive enough. Florida Governor DeSantis was in Israel Thursday doing the obligatory indulgency tour all Republican presidential candidates must undertake before they officially announce. During his pre-planned events, DeSantis took credit for moving the U.S.-Israel embassy to Jerusalem. DeSantis presented the Trump administration decision to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem as his own achievement, say he worked to cajole the former president to make the move. He didn't mention former President Trump by name. Here we have a couple of tweets. Here's one by DeSantis. The establishment of our embassy in Jerusalem fulfills longstanding U.S. policy as enacted by the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995. It was an honor to be there at this historic occasion. Thanks, President Trump, for being the first president to honor his promise to establish this embassy. Another, Shalom Lipner. Governor Ron DeSantis presented the Trump administration decision to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem as his own achievement, saying he worked to cajole the former president to make the move. He didn't mention former President Trump by name. Florida Governor DeSantis had no independent source of wealth prior to this 2024 endeavor and collaborative operation. Together with a multinational financing operation around him in combination with a Murdoch book deal and advance payment, the $300,000 governor, meaning that's his salary, is now worth millions. Funny how that happens. It's no wonder Casey is Tierra shopping while Florida residents are crushed by skyrocketing housing, insurance, taxes, energy, and other unavoidable costs of living. Here's David Rubin. Bumped into Florida man while in Israel. Bumped into. Jack, I don't know what's going on here. You know, I thought DeSantis was a pretty good guy, but it may be he's one more Zionist creature come here to control the American government on behalf of Bibi Netanyahu and his allies there.
There's no question that that's what he is. And, you know, he just had dinner with Miriam Adelson. And, you know, of course, that was Trump's largest donor. And he's sitting at a table in Jerusalem having dinner. She was and her husband were involved with $500,000, donated to his campaign for governor. I'm talking about DeSantis, back in 2018. And, of course, at the same time, Trump got $100 million. So, you know, he was on the big plate. Nonetheless, they're both vying for the same attention from the same master. And there's no question that, Joe Biden functions as a, underling of Israel, just not as clearly. But he's declared himself as a great friend of Israel, has been known to be involved with Israel over the course of his whatever number of years, 50 years of illustrious service to the United States. And so all of these functional authoritarian types that are actually just puppets have some connection. And we know that they control Congress. And we know that they've made it such that you have to sign a document, thanks to Cynthia McKinney, that you pledge your support to Israel. We know that Rand Paul pledges support to Israel through verbally suggesting that they deserve their financial aid from the United States, whereas his father adamantly said, no, that's not the case. So what bothers me, though, and it's scary for me, because if I point this out to people, it's like, well, you shouldn't say that, or you got to be a little quiet, or keep that down to yourself. And yet what we're talking about is right here in front of our face. I mean, if we had one of the other two branches of the Abrahamic cult here running every single aspect, and it would necessarily have to be one with, a distinguished name, like the Mormons or Church of the Latter-day Saints or otherwise, or one of the other Catholics, for example, or Islam, or one of the sects. If any of those groups populated our government in the same numbers that the Jewish people do, I mean, I think there's 48 members in Biden's cabinet that are dual citizen Israeli. Now, is it good to have someone who has dual citizenship, someone who has allegiance to two countries? How can we be certain then, when it's time to vote down financial aid to Israel, that those dual citizens are going to take the United States side, and they're going to take my side, and they're going to stand up for the farmers in the Midwest and all the little people that don't even know what the heck's going on?
Jack, you may be aware my very first political speech was in 2008, April 15th, on the grass in front of the Capitol, Ron Paul Freedom Rally, where I gave a talk that would be published under 9/11 and the neocon agenda, where I explained that no dual citizen should ever be appointed to a decision-making or policy-shaping position in the American government, because you cannot know that their loyalty to the other state does not outweigh their loyalty to the United States. 2008, my first political speech. So, I mean, you're spot on.
I'm speaking to a chorus of one member. Anyway, I agree with you. But that, I mean, it's not, I don't know how it's legal. There's certain language in the Constitution that would suggest that that's not legal. And we've had laws, along the way, like the missing 13th Amendment that, even prohibited bar members from holding positions of power due to their allegiances. And so I know that that's not going to be something that's ever brought up ever by anyone in power. And that ship has already sailed, although there were times in history when it was suggested that, we need to separate the large number of a certain ethnic group who claim also to have a religious collective as well. During the Lincoln administration, it was highly thought of. General U.S. Grant actually issued an order moving all Jewish people out of the ability to get involved with selling items to the war effort. To be part of the transactions and to be middleman in between. And that basically banished Jewish people from actively being involved in Grant's army until Lincoln rescinded that, which was only like a month and a half later. But, I mean, it's clear when you reach a certain point, that's a tipping point where somebody else's interest, and this is not evil, and it's not, we're not being some hateful group of white boys here. But when some other interest has such presence in your government, and that interest is contrary to the interests of the people that voted for these people, then we have to say something. And it's hard to say that, but it has to be done soon, because this problem has recurred over and over in the history of humanity. And then when it happens, you know, these people are taken out of power. And then for a short period of time, there's some sort of period where they function more normally and more in line with the thoughts of the people that they're being governed. And then they return again through individuals who are, you know, basically agents. And I don't know what the final solution is. That is certainly is something that we have to talk about. And it's like that was the whole concept of World War II. And yet when we say the final solution, it always comes down to something evil. When we need some sort of solution to say, can people who have a dual citizenship rightfully be trusted to be concerned about the interests of the United States? And, you know, I think anybody with a brain, with a few brain cells can figure out that that's what's going on here. And I think that these kinds of questions will soon be mute, because with the central bank digital currency system coming in and their ability to track and control every aspect of your life, that speaking out about on this topic will result in dire consequences. So I don't know how to make it any clearer to everybody listening to your show and our shows and your private membership, Jim, at allthingsreconsidered.tv, how important it is that we make plans right now to prevent at least having to go into the CBDC for more than several years, that we make a pledge to ourselves that we will not join, we will not do trade with their currency, that we will find and use alternative currencies, that we will make an effort right now to transfer some of our dollars, which were created by the same people. It's a copywritten piece of green paper with all of their esoteric symbolism all over it, the secret meanings to that symbolism that it basically implies what's happening today, but most people have no idea that that's the case. They carry it around their wallet. That particular currency doesn't belong to you. When they issue it to you, they do so at interest, and you have to return it. We need currencies that are honest currencies that have no trappings of being debt-based. And that's what we have to pledge to ourselves that we will do. Now, right now, people can purchase gold and silver, and they can make other purchases that can be later held through maybe even force. Because when you buy land and other, items that are large enough that you are conspicuously owning them, there are ways that can be taken from you. And of course, that's one of the reasons that the tax system was designed the way it was. I mean, the control around the average American is beyond any kind of slavery ever known in the human history. And, having studied and trying to study history as far back as 4500 BC, which is where the beginning of human history is written. There's no other written history prior to that. We can see that, the situation with our current situation with this slavery is the most advanced, and it's something that they've been planning for many, many years. I mean, most people think these religions are valid ideas. I mean, I'm talking about the Abrahamic religions, the three of them that were created here, but they're basically all created by the same people. They are all worshiping the same Jewish God, Yahweh, the desert demon God, and they don't know. I mean, Christians don't understand that they are pledging allegiance to the same God that calls them and refers to them as goyim, as people that have very little rights. And only if they promise to follow a certain set of rules at the cost of losing their head. Now, this is a factual thing. I mean, this is not hate. This is not made up. And so you can go out. Anyone can go out and discover that that's the case. So these religions came about a couple thousand years ago, and they've been improved over that period of time. But if you look past and go back further and further in history, and remember, there's been many catastrophic events that have wiped out almost all history. I'm sorry, people. We, 2239, we have the BC, we have the Great Flood. But then prior to that, we have other incidents that wiped out humanity repeatedly. There was another great flood after that flood in 1759 BC that nearly wiped out everyone on Earth. And during these periods of time, people had civilizations and they didn't worship these gods. This god just is something that is new on the scene. And of course, it's a creation of the human mind. And by becoming associated with it, you promise to think in a certain way and you allow it to control your thinking thereafter because it comes with a set of criteria, and rules and ways in which you are required to believe. And once you accept that and run around and say, you know, you're converted or you're saved or whatever the words are, and you've given up an opportunity for yourself to think in any other way. And I think right now it's very important for people to wake up and start thinking on their own. This world is not about going to heaven or hell. This world is about figuring out what's going on. And if you want to make it out of this system that we live in, I believe the only way out of this thing is to understand what's happening and not let it repeat over and over and over. And it's just such a terrible thing that I don't know how many people that I don't know anybody. I only know the people that I've been with and we've all educated ourselves at the same time that understand what is critically important about what's about to happen. So we have a group of people that control the world. We have a group of people that have said they plan on making a certain religion the religion that will rule the world. We have that same group of people saying of those people that are in that religion, they will have extraordinary powers in the new world. And then everyone else will be labeled as something else and given powers that are menial at best and be restricted and at the same time be used as slaves.
Jack, let me just intervene to confirm what you're saying here. I mean, the chosen people believe they're not only entitled to the promised land, but to the whole of planet Earth. This is a Talmudic tradition. You find any number of prime ministers of Israel, no less, including Menachem Begin, who make unequivocal statements about the Jewish race being the superior race, that the other races only exist to serve the Jews, that the Jews are as superior to the other races as humanity in general is superior to the cattle in the field. And that Jews are entitled to lie, cheat, steal, even murder the Goyim with impunity. But if the Goyim commit any offenses against a Jew, they're to be punished severely. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Here you have to distinguish between what you might call Orthodox Jewry based on the Old Testament versus the Talmudic or rabbinical tradition. And it's a Talmudic or rabbinical tradition that is the source of, some might say, all evil in the world. You know, it's not just the love of money, which seems to go along with the territory, but the desire to control and dominate all the other races just to benefit the Jew in this version of the Talmudic version of Jewish superiority, combined with, you know, the entitlement to rule the world. It's outrageous, Jack. You're spot on. Now, listen. Everything you're saying about digital currency is 100% correct. It's in the form of technological slavery. Now, I've never heard anyone address, what about people who have no digital anything? What about homeless people? They don't have credit cards. They don't have bank accounts. They can't do digital anything. Are they just going to starve on the street, Jack? What is their fate?
Well, I would say that everybody you just mentioned, and you may remember the days of Obama and the Obama phone, everybody has a phone, and the phone will be the primary instrument of all commerce. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, what are you going to spend in a digital currency system? It's digital. You don't have anything in your hand. No, and you do. You have a phone in your hand. 99% of the people now in the world walk around with a phone glued to their body, and that is their instrument of currency transaction right now. Now, eventually, they plan to do, I mean, part of this entire thing with these three religions is to make the events in the Bible, which the Jewish claim is their right to ascendancy, which they call prophecies that were written by them that have to be fulfilled before they can come to power and take control of the world, as you just mentioned. And so they make these events happen. And they do so with great urgency. And unfortunately, and we could go into it later, but you know, Trump is playing into this game as well. And we see that these prophesized events then get satisfied. And that then leads us to, so does that mean everything that we see in Revelations, et cetera, is probably going to happen? And I would say that's the case. And those things are, you know, mean that we're going to get a mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is, from my understanding of trying to discern what it might mean, is our ability to buy and sell. It says so. And that ability to buy and sell will mean that you have inserted in your body somewhere some digital electronics, just like the people that just took this vaccine. You know, it's been shown over and over and over that a great portion of them have electronics already in their body. They respond to electronics. They respond to Bluetooth. And so we know that that is the ultimate plan. And people need to wake up and say, okay, I'm done pretending. I can't pretend anymore. It's right in front of my face. This is happening. It's going to happen. And it's like one of those situations where somebody comes to your house and is holding a handgun to somebody's head and says, this is going to happen, and blows them away. This is going to happen. This is the same kind of urgency that we have right now to do something about this while we still can. The whole scenario, because they call it religious, doesn't mean it's religious. It doesn't mean it is really involving any kind of supernatural forces. I agree that there are other beings that live in this world that have been here, and they're talked about even in the ancient texts, the book of Jasher and many other ancient texts, the book of in Genesis, which is one of the parts of the Bible that's actually, of course, from a long time ago that was taken and put into the Jewish Bible, has descriptions of other people, the Anunnaki and so-called giants and Nephilim. And then we hear stories of people called the Titans and others. There are some other, you know, not necessarily human beings. Those people didn't just vanish. They're somewhere. Likely they live below the earth or the ground as we know it. But outside of that, the rest of this thing is designed to do what it's doing. Bird us up to see if it can be done. Put us all in a prison that's never been designed before, and then transfer power to a group of mentally ill people, which I referred to earlier as a psychopath. But actually, in the definition of mentally ill, psychopath doesn't fall under it. A psychopath is a different functioning brain, a brain with a different pattern of thought that could be considered almost human. I mean, many people have written books, and one in particular I read was called Almost Human. These are people that look like us and talk like us, but cannot think like us. Yet they do live with us, and they pretend to behave like us. And one of the places they pretend is when it comes to emotions and empathy and any concern for life. Look at people like Anthony Fauci. Now, that is an ideal characterization of a psychopath. There's never been one that we know publicly that I know any better. You know, people are following this Murdoch case in South Carolina, of these millionaire families and law firms that are involved. Individual that has just done a bizarre series of murders and discovered, but it looks like it goes back in history. And you watch this individual behave, you're looking at a pure, raw form of psychopath, a person that can go to court and make a convincing argument that he didn't kill somebody while he's been told that he had micro plasma on his skin from the gunshot. And so we're dealing with a very critical situation. You can't trust what people say. You certainly can't trust anything you hear or see. But the advent of AI, there's nothing real anymore, nothing required to be real. You can make an image of Jim and then get his voice, and then and next thing you know, Jim's doing all sorts of things that Jim would never do. And we can take a video of it and say, wow, look what Jim's doing. But that wouldn't be Jim. And now there's no way that you can distinguish between what's real and not by looking at photos and such. That's why, you know, the big rush away from land cameras and the ones that could take instantaneous photos, they're harder and harder to get because they're the only thing that one could even value as evidence in any kind of court case. Any kind of digital photo is absolute nonsense. And so I don't know, Jim. I mean, you see what Ron DeSantis is doing.
I'm very troubled about DeSantis. Yeah. You know, I thought really for a very long time he was a good guy, and he was doing a lot of brilliant things and an excellent governor and sending the 50 illegals up to Martha's Vineyard was a stroke of genius. I mean, I've been very enthusiastic about DeSantis, but now it appears to me he's really a different kind of guy than I had presumed. I mean, it's very, very disillusioning, Jack. Very disillusioning.
I only wish that Bobby Kennedy were running on the Republican Party so that he could take the votes that are going to be split between Trump and DeSantis here, you know, in the primary.
Wow. Well, Trump is so far ahead of DeSantis and everyone else, Jack. There's no question he's going to have the nomination. The question is, who is he going to pick for his running mate? I've long been advocating Tulsi Gabbard, who also comes from the left. But she's a very responsible person, although her views on the Second Amendment require calibration, shall we say. She has recently been at Mar-a-Lago, by the way. Now, DeSantis, as some have suggested, but of course they're both in the same state. Trump would have to move if he were to run with DeSantis. At one point, that might have been a reasonable contemplation, but I now think Bobby could be a unity ticket with Trump. He's the only person I can imagine that could bump out Tulsi, whom I believe is a spot-on choice to run with Trump. Tulsi and Trump has got a great ring to it, and she's a very solid candidate, intelligent, articulate, military background, well-spoken, enough governmental experience she could plausibly become president. I have a friend who was so excited about Tucker, he actually tried to call me while we're on the air. He thought Tucker could run for president, but that's so far-fetched. I mean, Tucker just doesn't have the qualifications, although I'm an enthusiast about Tucker, though he's wet behind the ears when it comes to conspiracies. He's obviously not ready for prime time politically. I'd love to do that, Jack. We are coming out of time. I don't know if we're going to hear or not here. Let me see. It is already playing. Yeah. So something's going on there. Jack, I'm going to just put up a...
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yeah, and now we return you to, I don't know what goes on here, Jack. Listen, there it is. I'm going to stop sharing. There's something I want to pull up here because we didn't get the whole effect. There's actually, that video I showed was not the right clip. There's a right clip and it's much more telling. Let me see if I can pull it up. But Jack, you go ahead. Keep talking. You're making so many important points.
Well, you know, we covered the fact that Florida has two bills, and the one that DeSantis is signing now, HB 269, it seeks to criminalize speech that's deemed intimidating by the state. And that, of course, is pretty vague and subjective standard. It certainly violates the constitutional amendment for the First Amendment. And it also goes against Supreme Court rulings that have always stated that some people can find speech offensive while somebody else cannot. All speech is therefore free speech and is protected under the First Amendment. But it's interesting that the reason this bill came up is because there are a group of people in the United States that have created an organization that is the mirror opposite of the ADL, which is basically a hate group and an organized hit group created in 1913 at the same time as the income tax bill was passed, the same time that the Federal Reserve became law, and the same time that states lost the right to pick their own senators. The ADL shows up in a very, very strange way. And I'll leave it to the listener to figure out how the ADL was created.
Jack, can you see the screen? Can you see the screen there, this little?
Yep, I see a BitChute Sears challenge.
Look at it. Yep. There you go. They have already altered this. Look at that. There you can see it's very distinctive. Michael, you can see his male member. There's just no question about it. That what I showed you. It appears when you go to download it, they have already altered it, Jack. Already altered it. I mean, it's astounding how rapidly they move to do these things. I'm just shocked.
Well, I mean, that's the function of the ADL. I mean, we're just talking about it. And so this group in Florida, well, I'm sorry, it's a national group, but they call themselves the the Goyim Defense League. And you know, it makes sense. It's like saying, you know, we can have Black Lives Matter, but we can't have White Lives Matter. And we can have any number. And there are dozens and dozens of groups that have been created by Israel and the Jews to protect Judaism from any kind of criticism. And ADL is just one of them. And I was telling the listeners to find out how the ADL actually came into existence. It's quite an interesting story, but regardless, I'm not going to make a mess of things by telling that story. But the anti-Goyim League were passing out pamphlets, and even though the article I read didn't say what the pamphlet said, it said it was describing the nature of, or how it is that the media is owned by just a small group of people, and those small group of people will have religious ties to Judaism. And so you can see that this law is not really designed to improve the life of the average Floridian, but depending on the population distribution and demographics. However, it is designed just to protect a certain group. And that was the same with the previous law that he signed, which was House Bill 741. Now, let's not forget that Trump signed a similar bill. He signed an anti-Semitism pledge, which was called an executive order before he left, which was called, what the heck was that called? Your memory's better than mine. On the topic of anti-Semitism or something similar to that. It was designed to make it possible for colleges to prevent speech if they deemed it was anti-Semitic. And so we see that the same candidates that are funded by Israel are clearly getting done things for Israel and in Israel's name. And we remember that, you know, Donald Trump was connected to Israeli intelligence. And prior to his election in 2016, in August, Roger Stone got some sort of notification from this Israeli operative saying that he's going to be defeated unless we intervene. And so we know that, you know, Trump has had a big role in his life played by the people that funded him out of four bankruptcies by the religion of his son-in-law and the other people that are in his life. So we really don't have any way to have a separation of those ideas. We can't have an American first president if they are funded, supported, and then do the bidding of another country. And so, you know, we were talking a few minutes about Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy would be the ideal candidate in the sense that his platform, as it's laid out so far, which is very scant, is about America first. There's no other question, and it discusses the various ways in which we have to get out of these wars. So the Ukraine war, I mean, Ukraine is basically just a satellite of Israel. And we're sending manpower and lives to this war and enormous amounts of American money. And there's no end in sight. And they're fighting an enemy that is clearly much more powerful and much more capable of winning this war while they're using incompetent people to control the theater from the point of view of the United States. It's like men children, to quote my friend George Fund, people that are not even able to understand the situation that they're involved with. It's too long of a story. But regardless, the United States is just set up to bleed. This is just another cut in our side so that we can bleed cash. And remember, the only way that you can destroy this financial system properly is to spend money until the point where hyperinflation takes complete control. And at that point, prices will begin rising, not just every, few days, but every hour and every minute thereafter. And that's going to be the signal that we've come to the end. And so we're seeing massive amounts of unbelievable funding of every possible idea, ridiculous or not. The Ukraine is just another one of those holes. But unfortunately, it involves, you know, some of our sons and daughters, and it could conceivably bring the war to the United States, which is what central banking is about. And in plugging my own stuff, if people want to read it, they can join Jim's membership. I have all of my articles there from the past. They're available also at thegovernmentrag.com. I talk about the fact that,
You're talking about allthingsreconsidered.tv, Jack, yeah. Right? Allthingsreconsidered.tv. Yeah.
Exactly. If I said that wrong, I apologize because I'm on a roll here. But, allthingsreconsidered.tv is Jim's membership site. There's where you get inside stuff that you don't get out here. And it's a great little meeting area for people that both love Jim and like the idea that they're with a group of people who all think the same way. So please come join that. But in my articles, I talk about the fact that we have a situation coming as a result of the fact that central banking has been in the human history, American history since 1791, and actually before that. And they are an agitating force. They're They are international. It's a banking cartel. It's made up of many corporations that get to play parts in this thing. But they infiltrate a nation, and especially a nation like the United States was ripe for picking. They saddled us with the Federal Reserve Act, finally, to completely take over the issuance of credit and currency in 1913, in which case they earn money for every single dollar that's issued by the Federal Treasury. And that has made it possible for them to then take over the United States and the other 199 countries or whatever there are in the world. It's made it possible for them to build a mercenary army out of the United States military and other groups. It's made it possible for the United States military to be all over the world doing terrible things that they shouldn't be doing, interfering with people's lives. The mass mess that they created in around the states that are involving Israel, which was done after 2001. And we know that was done specifically to make it easier for Israel to exist in that world. And these things only can be done by a country that has a central bank. Not possible to have a world war without a central bank. You have to keep this in mind. Central banking is an evil. It is a absolute necessity to end the central bank. To never allow that sort of activity to ever occur again. It places all the power of your financial system and all its ability to control the world in the hands of a few psychopaths. And that's exactly what it did. And so right now, the biggest thing that we can do is promise that we are going to acquire the things we need to survive a couple of years without having a currency that's brand new. That would mean gold and silver and other things, jewelry, things of value. And at the same time that we will not use our currency under any circumstances, we will use, if I have some corn and I need a quart of motor oil, I will trade my corn for your motor oil. Or we will invent a currency that we both agree on. And the United States is littered with this battle between the banks and the people that just occupy all of our history. No one even knows it. Andrew Jackson was shot twice. Fortunately, both times the gun misfired. But his story is a story of one man, one honest America First president standing against an enormous amount of resources. Like, for example, in the United States right now, the central bank can and literally controls all the money there could be in the world. I mean, after you get past $1 trillion, I mean, what can't you buy? $1 trillion is something they toss out like every quarter now in the United States. And to think that there's probably $500 trillion in U.S. denominated currency and assets that are associated with it in the world, I mean, that's a number we can't understand even what it means. And so these people have no enemy when it comes to being able to outspend them. It can't be done. And so in the days of Andrew Jackson, he was up against the same thing, only scaled by the time period that he was in. And yet he was able to stand fast, survive twice his attempted assassination, whereas many other presidents, and I don't know many, but several other presidents, including McKinley and JFK, didn't survive so well going up against the bankers. And so if we have anybody that we want to make a temporary hero, and I know a lot of people don't like the Trail of Tears and those sort of things, and I think that that's only a point of view of the time period that these individuals lived in. And they have a history that goes with that we can't possibly understand. It's like trying to learn Finnish, the language Finnish language. It's not possible for me to learn Finnish and ever understand a conversation properly, because you have to be born as a baby in Finland to get your brain modified properly to make sense of the way they speak. So it's a long story, but languages are the same way. We can't understand history if we didn't live through that history. And we have people tell us what it was like and how awful this was and that was, and that's probably 100% nonsense. It sells books. You can't argue with it. It's like saying the Chinese went to the dark side of the moon. It's just totally preposterous. But how do you argue with it? You just say, no, they didn't. Yes, they did. No, they didn't. So I'm telling you that if we can do anything in our lives that matter right now, we must stop the central bank digital currency system and all of its lookalikes. Remember in 1907, after they did the bank collapses, they introduced two bills that introduced the Aldridge bill, which was a banking bill. And it was ostensibly it was created by bankers. And that was the headline. Bankers create their own banking bill. And the elite sign on to the Aldridge bill. And so it got a lot of negative publicity. And at the same time, it was by the same people who were in the same media. That negative publicity then pushed people into accepting the second choice they offered, which was the Federal Reserve Act. And they told the people that this would be managed by the government and not by bankers. And in fact, it was going to be a federal operation. And of course, that turned out to be absolute BS. It has no connection to the federal government at all. His name is no more federal than Federal Reserve. And I use that all the time, but it's a good one. And so we have to be on guard for not only will they do one, but they'll do two, they'll do three, they'll do 10 if they have to. The idea is that central banking, a central banking system, and that means centralized currency of any kind, is evil and will result in the entire population going into a slavery for which they can never, ever find their way out of, that I can see. not until the next reset. And when these human resets come, boom, everything sinks under the sea, and that's that. But in that period of time, we will have to live in a world where we're slaves.
Jack, do we have any options? I mean, you know, if we had a commanding general, see, this is where I would cast Trump in this role if he could do it. It seemed to me he's the only figure who could marshal sufficient public support to actually resist and cut this off, but it appears it's not going to happen.
He's a Judas goat. He was designed to do that. He was the one that they took the average Fox living or watching American and molded the character for. He plays the part perfectly. They set him up with religious implications. And look at it, his last time he was arrested, he claimed he was going to be arrested beforehand without foreknowledge like Jesus did. He arrived in the same way that Jesus did. He didn't answer the questions in the disposition the same way Jesus didn't prior to his being put up on the cross. And so these all of this stuff is manipulation of your mind, and it makes it seem like, wow, we do have a choice. If you feel right now that that's going to make you, that this is going to work, that means it will not. Now, we're talking about a group of people that have all the money that could ever exist in the world. They've had hundreds and hundreds of years to plan this, and they have. And every situation is gained. You think that we're getting AI now, they didn't have it a long time ago? All the computer systems that they have can't run simulations of every possible outcome, they've already created an entire simulation of the world. I forget the name of the university that now hosts it, but there's an icon or an avatar for every one of us, me, you, with our names. And that comes from the fact that we have to get a driver's license and a birth certificate, and we have to use our credit cards, and they track us, and they feed that data to your avatar inside of this world simulation. And then they can do things there that get the results of what kind of behavior you would provide. And it seems like that's impossible, not impossible at all. It's called training. Now, this is about the AI stuff they do today. They can train an AI to write an article exactly like I write it, in the same tone, with the same kind of words I choose. So how is that any different from training a person to behave just like me in general? So we cannot depend on anybody in the mainstream. And as far as Bobby Kennedy is concerned, I'm scared for him. We know what's happened to his family, and if that would become some popular thing where people started rallying around him, it's 100% likely that he will be done the same way that his other brothers were and the way his family was treated. And so this is not something we can win this way. We have to win it through personal disobedience. We have to do it on our own. We have to stand against it individually. We can individually do that. We don't have to buy their products. We can turn off their television. We can stop using their currency. We can demand that we have some sort of physical currency. We can do it. And it may mean that you don't live comfortable. I've said before on your show, I mean, people need to start sleeping on the floor once or twice a week, because this is not the way our paradigm is right now is failing. It's going to collapse completely. If we don't go to war, and war is something that they're attempting to bring here, the power will go out. The currency will collapse. Food will not be delivered, and we will be in a situation that I can only call feudal. And the feudal system is what they plan. Then they plan to say, but we don't have to have feudalism. All you have to do is use our currency and take our mark of the beast. And, you know, living like that is not a life. I don't think there's any life. Now, you know, you wake up every day, Jim, do basically what you want. You solve your own problems. Think about what is important to you. make your own trips, run to the store when you want. No, in this new world, you will not do any of that stuff. You will think what they ask you to think. You will be required to do certain behaviors every day. You will be monitored and watched. You won't have access to books. I mean, what will it be like when I can't buy the books that I want to read? No, they're all gone now. I'm sorry. You can read this, and you can. It was like something out of 1984. You can read this thing. It's a pamphlet on how to be a better citizen or how not to get social credit attacked. And that's all you're going to be able to do. And your life will be miserable. You have no life of your own. Meantime, they're saying, now you got to go carry water or you got to go dig in corn or whatever you're going to do. And this is a situation that is hopeless. And it takes away all individual liberties and any way to live your life for your own ends.
Jack, my fear is every single word you said today is true. I can't marshal an argument against it. Our future is so bleak. It's happened so fast. Do you believe if Trump had been reelected, if they hadn't rigged it? And see, the strongest argument on behalf of Trump is the massive efforts they made to defeat him. They have gone all out. Two impeachments, January 6th, a host of others. If he didn't represent a threat, why would they go to? Why not just ride the crest of the wave with Trump? Because he has so much popular support. Now, my question is this. My question is this. Jack, let me just get my question out there. If Trump had been reelected, would it have made any difference?
No. The situation wouldn't even allow him to be reelected. He couldn't be reelected. He's following in the footsteps of Messiah ben Joseph. He has to be rejected by the people and then brought back. This situation was designed a long, long time ago. I mean, you know, you saw the books that were created in 1900, like the history of the stories of Baron von Trump, and then the story written by the same author of The Last President. I mean, it's not like this stuff isn't already known. I mean, Trump was in the works from the very beginning. The Family Guy, not The Family Guy, what's the other one? The cartoon that portrayed Trump in various situations that we later see him in life. These things all go together. They work this prophecy thing. They build the prophecy, then they work towards it. Trump could not make any difference whatsoever. And you can see the way he treated the people that were arrested in January 6th. They couldn't care less. You got guys like Stuart Rhodes, who was involved with the Oath Keepers Project. You know, Stuart Rhodes is not he's not a hero. He's not somebody that you would say, you know, you would hold up as a saint. But regardless, their basic idea was that, you know, you would support people that promised to support their oath. And so he's there for a reason that he believes is important to protect interests of President Trump. And he's arrested, and he'll probably be arrested and staying there for the rest of his life. The whole thing was contrived. Trump walked away from it. No other words, no help, no money, no attorneys coming to the rescue. That's the same way you're going to be treated. If you want to imagine how you're going to be treated under Trump and then later down the road in the central bank digital currency, see how the Israelis are treating the Palestinians. That's your future. They don't treat them I can't even explain how they treat them. It's just hideous. And so that's the future of Americans. If we don't walk away from these political candidates and do things on our own, we don't need them. You can do it in your county. You can support your own sheriff. You can educate yourself. Buy something on the Constitution. If people would read the history of the Constitution and what it meant and how it works and what it implies, oh my goodness, there's so much freedom in there that it's unbelievable. And yet, the average person has never heard of Article 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera. They don't know anything about the Constitution. The Constitution is a tiny little book. I happen to have it here right with me. It's about this size. And it is not very dense. And it's you can't see it. Regardless.
Jack, we can see it. We can see it. We can see it. Jack, yeah. You're one of the smartest guys I know. I think you're spot on about all of this. But I got to say, this is not disillusioning, but this is profoundly depressing because I do not see Americans as capable of rising to the occasion, my friend. I think you've laid it out. I think you got it exactly right, and I foresee disaster.
People can do it. All they have to do is stand up for themselves, but they have to know about it, and that's what everybody's on this show is about. Go out and tell people. Support groups like the CSPOA.org. They're doing the same thing. They're trying to get sheriffs to wake up, follow the Constitution, do what's right. And We can do it.
Maybe. Repeat that CSP.org slower so people can follow it.
CSPOA.org, Constitutional Sheriffs, Peace Officers of America, Organization of America, yeah. So CSPOA.org, and you can make donations there. There are things that require donations to survive, and that's one of them. And there are many others. And Jim, I appreciate you having me on today.
Oh, Jack.
Get a chance to vent.
You're sensational, absolutely sensational. My God, I can't think of any more important subject or any better person to address it than you, my friend, you. And I think you've laid it out masterfully. And I'm just impressed as hell because I do not believe Americans can rise to the occasion. I don't think there's a ghost of a chance we can do what would have to be done to forestall our digital slavery, Jack. I'm sorry, you have described it so clearly, and it's coming. It's like a monster tidal wave you can see in the distance, and we're just standing there on the beach. Gee, look at that. Here it comes.
Yep. And it's going to seem so innocuous, like it's our rescue. And if anything in this world from now on and the rest of your lives seems like it's coming to your rescue, please question it, because that's the tool that's worked over and over and over. So anyway, I think people can do it, and I don't think it takes that many. You know, the Constitution was created on the efforts of 5% of the population, apparently, we're told. And so if we only – I know there are a lot of people besides you and me that know what's going on, and maybe we get a state. Maybe there's one state that says, come here, all of you that think the same way. We'll work, and then we could instantly bring back our civilization and our manufacturing. And states like Texas already have their own oil and infrastructure, and they have power. And if it's 3 years, we can be refactoring everything at Walmart. And just
Jack. Jack, the music may already be playing. Let me just say how wonderful it's been to have you on today. And conclude by encouraging everyone to spend as much time as they can with their family, their friends, and people they love and care about. Jack has the disguise of the future.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...